When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
Hello, it's Tuesday, and on today's
it's a Tuesday
lovely
episode.
Episode,
it's 9 a.m.
Seconds,
on a Tuesday.
We will talk over each other for 1 hour straight. No, I'm just kidding.
Enjoy.
No, don't
we
do
talk
that
about too. We talk about kinks at Pride.
Oh, yes, honey. Let me kink shame you. I am here to kink shame. That's what I came to do. Just kidding.
You did the exact opposite.
I know. Sure.
We talk about paper mache. Get into it, Ma.
Oh, what? Yeah. Arts and crafts, Steve. Arts and crafts.
Arts and crafts. We talk about me stabbing myself in the eye with the mascara wand.
Video of the year. I hope that video gets a Streamy Award. You know what I'm saying?
And we talk about salad on your booty hole.
Keisha, that's a booty hole.
Keisha, that's a booty hole. Did you see the All-Star 6 premiere where Raja goes, you're going to see some booty hole? Oh, there's booty hole. Ooh, booty hole.
Why did we talk about that? We'll do it later. Bye.
We'll do it later. Bye.
Forever Dog.
When first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us. Sloppy seconds.
Oh, Diva. Our number is 213-536-9180. Our email is sloppypod@gmail.com. Now on with the show. Hi, you sloppy, you stupid little fucks, you nasty little fucks, you stupid little fucks, you nasty little, dirty little, stupid little.
We represent the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild. That was my shit. Did you like The Wizard of Oz?
I did. I don't think I ever fully comprehended it. And then I'm Big Dipper and that's Meatball. Welcome to Sloppy Seconds.
Also, say our names, right?
I'm Meatball and that's Big Dipper. I don't
Call
think I ever.
Call me by my name, first and foremost.
Rip your pants. Now, don't think I ever fully comprehended like the meaning of that movie until I like watched it again when I was in my 20s.
And
I
what
was
do you
like,
mean the meaning? Be yourself, be gay, be
yeah,
the lion
and,
within
like,
you,
kill someone and steal their stuff and then defend it to the end. You know what I mean?
That's what you took from it. I think yeah. I took from it. You've already got all the magic in you. You got the music in you.
Did you ever watch that Mad TV skit? It's so funny. I wanted
Mad
to
TV
do
was so funny.
Mad TV was better than SNL. I wanted to do it as a number, but it's The Wizard of Oz, and she's like, yeah, just click your heels. And she's like, wait, the whole time? You mean the whole fucking time I could have gone home? And she like starts screaming.
She
pops off.
Yes,
I remember that. It's so funny.
Did you ever get Mad Magazine as a child?
No.
I used to read
My parents never got me any magazine subscriptions.
What did they get you? Columbia House? Did you have a Columbia House record?
No. I would maybe get like new books at a book fair if I begged my parents for them.
You mean like the Scholastic Book Fair where you got
mm-hmm.
that little tissue paper
you got a tissue
thin
paper
pamphlet
book.
And you
good
would
for paper
circle
mache.
Would you circle it? How would you, fill it out actually, like a Scantron?
So we would get that pamphlet, go home with it, read it with our parents, circle what we kind of wanted, and then we would go to school the next day and they would have all the books there. So you could like walk up and down the aisle and like open them and look at them.
Ours, you had a bougie time. Ours was an order form. You had to order from the catalog, and that was that on that, diva.
Well, they wanted us to like get a good look at them. Mm-mm. But I mean, even that I had to like beg my parents. I'd always be like, are you sure? Like, what are you going to do? Read it once and put it away? And I was like, yes, I was going to learn to read.
My plan was literacy. What is your experience with paper mache?
I've done it multiple times in my adult life, but I don't really remember doing it much as a kid.
My experience is vast. What? It's crazy. And I think about this. There were so many things that I considered like normal for my childhood that were very, very unique. The neighborhood I grew up in had a park in the middle of the block. So instead of a system of alleyways, there was like a playground that was not a public. It wasn't a city operated playground. Everyone who lived on the block like paid annual dues for the upkeep. And it was like I don't even know what to call it. It was like a shared owned property. Like when you bought a house on that block, they were like, oh, and by the way, you are now part owner of this like playground behind the thing. So it was like a neighborhood organization, and every year there was a 4th of July parade in my hometown, and we would do float building. We would build these like elaborate floats. There was always a theme. And so like,
this is very strange.
I grew up,
this is outside of Chicago, right?
Yeah, in Evanston. I grew up, and Evanston has this like annual 4th of July parade that at one point or another got like national attention because it's like the longest running, or it's like the most entertaining or whatever. But it's like high school bands and like this like famous tumbling group.
Tumblers?
The Jesse White Tumblers. Jesse White, who was the Secretary of State of the State of Illinois for a long time.
Wait, did Jesse White teach the tumbling, or was
he
it just
started
named
the organization, and he was like teach tumbling, and then when he got older, obviously it was like young gymnast. But anyways, we would, as the neighborhood association, we would always make these floats, and there would be like a little car that they would completely cover, so it was like a moving whatever. It was a swan one year, it was a mountain one year, it was like whatever the theme of the parade was. And then all these little flats with wheels, almost like a toy train, and each of them was built by like a different group of families. And so I grew up every summer like building stuff out of paper mache. We would build it out of wood, wrap it in chicken wire to like give it its form,
give it
cover
shape.
It in paper mache, and then paint it. And we'd make these like all these like 3D characters, and it was always like Dr. Seuss characters or Disney characters. And
I'm gonna need to see a picture of them to see if they looked any good.
Some years they looked okay, others years they looked But okay. One year, round out the story.
No, finish it off.
One year, I was feeling very, 13 years old, independent. I was like, oh. So my father and I had tried to build a go-kart that failed miserably. So we had
An actual functioning one, or just a paper mache one?
No, a functioning one for me. That was like our project throughout the year. Oh. And come summertime, it had failed. Like, making a brake and steering wheel system.
No, like, that's not easy.
Is very challenging. We were like, oh, we'll
especially
put
out of wood.
A lawnmower motor in the back to run it and then make a thing. And we realized all we had really done was like put wheels on like a box of wood. But we had the thing. And so I petitioned. I was like, if you guys, can I build my own miniature float? It was like a little version. We would hook it on the tail end. It was like a little caboose. And so I built a California raisin, which is just like a blob of paper mache driving this little like go-kart that we attached onto the back of the.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Those are some childhood memories that I have.
The last paper mache thing that one time I tried to make a paper mache mold of my face, but we did the plaster cast, and then we put paper mache over it, but then everything kind of lost shape. But the last thing that I actually built that I was proud of was one year for Halloween, my friend Zach was like, hey, let's make me, I want to be Jaws for Halloween. But he wanted a big shark to be around his body. So we were like, cool, that'll be fun. So we did the chicken wire. We did everything. But it was me and Zach's roommate, Ben, making it. And Zach was just sitting in a chair drinking, pointing out everything that we were doing wrong. And so when it came time to start building the nose, you know, like a shark's nose is pointed. But we were like running out of paper mache, so it slowly, it was like kind of pointed, and then the top of it was just round. So he was just walking around in what looked like a trash can with an open mouth, because it was just a rounded top.
Did you paint it like a
We painted it gray. We put eyeballs on it. We like put little teeth on it. But also, I mean, we were in New York and we were like going out clubbing. So he was like walking into bars with this huge shark costume around him.
Okay.
And he could only stand in the corner and we'd like, girl, just take it off. Just take it off and leave it in the corner and then we'll never see it again. And he kept it on all night. And then at the end of the night, we all ended up back at my apartment and he was wearing it. And I was like, you have to take it off. You have to put it somewhere. And so he put it on my fire escape and we just left it on the fire escape for like a year.
Oh my God.
It would rain. It lived through the snow. But we were just like watching it shrink down and down. And finally my roommate was like, we have to throw that out. And I was like, at this point, I'm going to see if it just disintegrates. Like, I just want to see what happens to it.
It's so funny. I feel like some people think about it and other people don't when it comes to like costume making and going out. Like, that's such like a huge consideration, at least for me, when it comes to like pulling a look, like Halloween or even like, girl, people are gearing up for Pride, honey. They really, they want to go to Target.
Buy my makeup palette at Hip Dot, baby.
Oh,
get that Pride palette. HipDot.com. $22 for the palette, $44 for the full kit, which comes with mascara, eyeliner, and a beauty blender. Also, if you go to Ulta.com, I think they ship out to more places than HipDot does because it's Ulta. So $22 on Ulta and you can get the palette. Okay, what were you saying?
Now,
about
you're
costume?
An expert at applying mascara.
I am when there's a mirror involved.
I stabbed
myself in the eye so hard. It stung for a day.
Do you have any lingering injury?
No, I think I may have like scratched my cornea because when I was like blinking the day after, it was like it felt like there was a piece of sand in my eye. But there was nothing there because I kept washing it out and putting eye drops in it. I think I'll be fine. But also, I'm very upset that like all the work and all the stuff that we put into like making these TikTok videos for the makeup palette and making the promo for it got overshadowed by me stabbing myself in the eye. And that video has like 130 likes or whatever on Twitter.
It's but a none way of the more other iconic do. Video, honestly.
I mean, I thrive in chaos. Okay.
Can I give you some constructive feedback?
On what?
Choosing to wear a bang wig that basically covers your eye makeup you're talking about an eyeshadow palette.
Well, one of my eyes was out. Also, I was I was wearing the same.
The bangs were like this, and you're like, these colors are amazing. I'm like, where, bitch?
Well, also by the time I did I did one live on Hip Dot. Okay, let me just explain this. I did one live on HipDot's Instagram, which I'll be doing throughout the month, where I'll be giving away a palette every time I'm live on there.
So follow HipDot.
Yeah, go follow HipDot, and they'll post about when I'm going to go live. But okay, so I had originally started with a live over there, and my makeup was like fine, and I was like, I'll just put a bang on because it like, it's okay. And then on that live, everyone was like, use the glitters, put the glitters on. So I just started covering my face in the glitter palette, like the bottom portion of the palette. And then I went over to my live and I was like, I really got to pull these bangs down. Because like what I did over on that other live, if no one saw that, they're going to be like, what the fuck
Why
does
do you
meatball
look like?
That?
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you covered in glitter? That is not your thing. So anyway, that's what happened. I'm blind. I think I'm considerate about when I'm wearing costumes out in public, except for one year I did dress up as Chewbacca, but like sexy Chewbacca. So I was like in a fur costume. I was a furry, but it was like cut off shorts and stuff.
Can you do
Chewbacca? But I was
Chewbacca
like, it's
sound?
Too hot.
Let's take a break.
Well, and after that break, we'll talk about West Hollywood. Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back.
Get 15% cash back at hundreds of stores, including headliners like Bombas, Elf Cosmetics, and Hotels.com.
Rakuten is how in-the-know shoppers get the best savings. They shop the brands they love and earn cash back on top of deals.
During Big Give Week, May 6th through May 13th, the cashback rates are even bigger with Rakuten. But only for a limited time.
You can save on everything you need for summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel.
And Rakuten deposits your cash back directly into your PayPal account, or they can send you a check.
Rakuten really is the best way to shop.
Membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost.
That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these.
Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app.
R-A-K-U-T-E-N.
Shoppers get it.
Rakuten.
Okay,
and we're back.
Wait, so you want to talk about West Hollywood? I want to just, let's put a pin in it. Let's talk about King Cat Pride after West Hollywood.
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on with the Kinkit Pride. But I just recently went to WeHo on a Thursday night thinking, because in my mind, everyone was like, WeHo's open. All the videos I see, it's like, it's back to normal. Fully open. We're standing around bars. So me and two of my friends were like, well, let's go there. Like, let's go to Fiesta Cantina and get like a shitty dinner and like giant margaritas and party. Because she had just finished a comedy show at the Improv. So it's like right over there. So it made sense. So we go there. It's 9 o'clock on a Thursday when we get there. There's the pictures, the images of it being open. It's all okay. First of all, most of the bars are closed, but like, I think it was because it was a Thursday, but there's just lines to get in everywhere now.
Cause people like, are not still at capacity. Cause LA.
Yeah.
The California is not full capacity until June 15th. So right
but
now,
I thought Thursday night we like who's gonna be out on a Thursday night? It should be easy. Trunks.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's like if you go to, it's like, how do I say this? It's like the alcoholics bar of WeHo. They'll pour you something real strong. You never really stay for long. It's like where you go to pregame before the night because the drinks are cheap and strong. They had a line. They had a huge line. So then I was like, well, let's see about Rocco's. And like from Trunks, which is like two blocks away, you could see the line at Rocco's. And then they were like still trying to rally. And I was like, no, I'm not going to stand in line to sit in a shitty gay bar.
Because the deal is you have to stand in line in order to then
get a table.
Because you need a table to be in the bar. Got it. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a couple more weeks. I don't know, girl. I think a lot of the way things are going to happen is going to like shift a little bit. Of course, even when things are wide open. Like, I'm still, you know, I'm finally feeling comfortable just strolling around outside without a mask on. And I'm like,
I got it
in my pocket, diva.
Oh, yeah, I still wear mine, but I stayed inside for so long. I'm going out. I'm taking advantage of it. I don't care.
We'll probably
be shut down by September or some shit again.
Lockdown
the spread's gonna be full on blast, but I don't care. I'm vaxxed.
You know they're on lockdown in Melbourne right now
because
they have 5 cases.
Good for them. They're taking it seriously. We would have 800 cases and they would be like, still time to open this city up, baby.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we do. There are like 200 new cases every day, but that is not a pandemic. That is just regular illness moving around town. Okay, let's talk about King Cat Pride.
Let's talk about it. What is Pride if not a place to get your dick wet? You know what I'm saying?
Right. So obviously your favorite person on the internet, what's his name? Tristan or Christian? He's a Christian named
Walker.
Tristan. No, his name is Christian.
It's Christian Walker.
I came across a TikTok video of him talking about, don't put your rainbow flag on me. Girl, what a mess that child is.
I cannot wait for him to grow up and be like, oh, I was a shitty person.
Right, like, oh, no. But I guess the conversation swirling is a little bit something that I have dealt with as like an artist. You know, I'm an artist, Meatball. I do make music and I mm-hmm. do perform mm-hmm. that music live. Sometimes when I get booked for Pride events, you know, sometimes they're parties at bars. Go off. You got to be over 21. I can do the music the way I want. I can sing my songs about sucking dick. But other times, they are the main stage outdoors at a all ages free Pride festival in front of the Capitol building or downtown in a plaza. And the promoter will say to me, like, you cannot cuss. You cannot be sexually explicit. You have to keep all your clothes on. And I'm like, well, why'd you book me, Diva? But I've had to like make those type of adjustments in the past. And, you know, initially I was like really like angry about it and kind of butthurt. And I was like, this is why I do it, because of censorship, like, blah, blah, blah. After a while, I've come to the understanding that, like, okay, I get it. Like, it's a daytime Pride event at 2 p.m. I'm happy to like say something other than like fill your butthole with semen in my song. But the larger conversation is like getting rid of all of that in general everywhere during Pride. And that seems like antithetical to the entire idea. Like, queer Pride, gay Pride, any of that all started as like a protest, started as a riot, started as like an anti-establishment. And there is something to be said for like acceptance and being brought into the fold of something mainstream. But the majority of that stuff is performative and only happens in June. It's not year round and it's not real, mm-hmm. that acceptance. There are still so many anti-queer, especially anti-trans laws that are being passed and restrictions and like bullshit. So it's not the time to like dumb it down. I rather say, rather than like no kink at Pride, it's like have a kids Pride separate, do a family Pride separate.
Yeah, do youth Pride.
Yeah, honey, they do youth prom or Pride.
Yeah, have a youth Pride, and then it can be unoffensive. There will be no kink, there will be no sexual thing, and then have an 18 plus like Dory Alley Pride, have an 18 right. plus like Folsom. Like, if you don't want to see it, then don't go. But I also understand that like there's the argument that like doing your kink in public at a place is I don't even know the word, it's like pushing it on other people. They're not asking to be a part of your kink, and yet here they are seeing it happen, and it could be triggering to them. And if that's the case, go to a very homogenized heterosexual or heteronormative event.
Yeah, go to the Wells Fargo Bank Pride
somewhere else. But like, here's the thing, and this is my opinion, and you can hate me for it. I want to see people getting their dick sucked. I want to see someone getting flogged. I want to see puppies in a kennel. I want to see people dressed up like doggies, locked in a cage.
Did you see this picture that Lockwood posted of me?
No.
Go to the Instagram.
Hey, everyone. Follow us to Lockwood51
LA
on Instagram. LA. Lockwood51 LA. That's not a picture of you. That's an old man.
Look at the shoes, baby. Look at the shoes.
Get the shoes, baby. Get the shoes.
Get the shoes, baby. That's me in 20 years. No, but it's this like lovely picture of this man with like rainbow. What are those called? Sleeve. They're not gloves. It's like rainbow socks.
Like sleeve, they're like leg warmers, but on his arms.
Yeah. And he's walking
he's
naked.
He's fully nude with rainbow socks and a pair of New Balance shoes.
Clearly, this is in San Francisco because the nudity laws are very specific there and welcoming and opening. And he's just like doing a walk for Pride because for him, he's a gay man and he wants to be naked and it's legally allowed. And he's doing that. Like, I don't know. I just can't. That's what I've always loved about Pride. And listen, fucking fuck you.
Well, here's the thing. Maybe we can all just, maybe we can look out for those people and maybe we can look out for ourselves by doing like kink area, like a kink feel, or like 18 plus areas at Pride. Like, only come back here if you're comfortable seeing something that you don't want to see. Stay on that side of the street if you don't want to see this man getting his ass blown out by a fist.
Okay, so they, when I did San Francisco, when I performed right after Kamala Harris gave an address on the same microphone.
Lock her up.
No, she's our vice president. What's wrong with you? I mean, she doesn't do great kidding. Things, but shout out to
she
her.
She loves the police.
Okay, she is the police. When I did San Francisco Pride, I had to like censor my lyrics, but before my performance, we walked around and they had a sober area, like an area that there was no alcohol in it whatsoever. They had a kid zone or a family zone, and then they had a kink zone.
These people are basically being like, I want to go to a bar, but I don't want to see any alcohol. Like, I want to go to Pride, but I don't want to see any kink.
But okay, so what about the gay people who are going like, yeah, there shouldn't be any kink because that makes everyone think that like gay people just means bestiality and pedophilia and weird sex stuff, and we're normal just like
guess
you.
Guess what? It does.
Stop.
We're all pedophiles. No, I don't know. I kind of understand their argument because I do think that like, by putting so much of that stuff on display, it makes it seem like we're all sexual deviants and like, but also I don't want to be the person that's like, why can't you just act like a normal gay person? Because there is no such thing. Like, you can't be like, why can't you act like a normal straight person? What does that mean? You're what, white serial killer? Like, what is a normal straight person?
I mean, but we are.
They're up to weird shit too.
We are light years ahead in the like acceptance of every kind of whatever, the polyamory, the pup play, the, you know, we're like, cool. If it, you know, don't yuck the yum. If it's cool for you and it's consenting for you, go for it. And to me, I'm like, I want to see every possible thing that anyone wants to put on display when it comes to a Pride. I am in full support of it. And the queer folks who are like, I don't want that to represent me, are the same kind of people who don't understand that whatever other part of their identity is, it's not a monolith. We are all a tapestry of like completely unique and different types of people. I don't know.
All brought together by our need to not have sex with the opposite sex.
But that's not even true. Queer people, there are pansexual people and bisexual people. And opposite is relative. When you talk about gender spectrum.
Exactly. You know what? Exactly.
So what you're saying is you agree with me? Exactly.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a complicated issue, but like, damn, why are they being so crazy about it?
Well, what it is this? I think it's, I mean, I love when we talk about TikTok, but it seems like it's a bunch
all
of like.
All we can talk about is TikTok.
Gen Zers on TikTok being like, I don't want to see kink. It's not my thing. I don't like that. And you're putting me in it. And I just don't, I mean, don't go.
Can I say something controversial?
You agree?
About triggering?
Yeah.
I feel like trigger warnings are important, but I also feel like if you need a trigger warning for like so many things, at a certain point, you need to be able to protect yourself from exposure to certain things. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because at a certain point, if you're like, well, anything related to rape culture is incredibly triggering to me, it's like, well, then you cannot watch TV or like look at ads because everything, you know, to quote Alana from Broad City, everything is misogynistic rape culture. You know what I mean? And so I obviously think that if it's like, I'm going to tell a horrific story about sexual assault, that requires a trigger warning. Or I'm going to tell a story about, you know, something violent or gruesome. Like, that's like, hey, FYI, skip the next 5 minutes or whatever. But if you're walking around in the world and like a car alarm goes off and you're like, oh my God, it's like, well, you need to understand, like, you need to prepare, you need to fortify yourself to do that. And a little bit of me is thinking.
You also can't victim blame. You can't be like, you shouldn't be triggered.
Of course, but I'm saying there are certain things you can't control.
Yeah.
That you're like, oh, I wish I had a trigger warning that stoplight was going to go red. And every time I see red, I blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, then you can't go out into the street and you need to find a thing to solve that.
Yeah, but I guess what I completely agree and I understand.
So if
that
everyone
like,
is saying no kink at pride because the idea of like looking over and seeing two people, you know, the term people ever is like hooking up behind a dumpster is triggering to me. It's like, well, then there needs to be a safe pride, safe space pride that is non-sexual that you create or do whatever. You can't alter because other people want to celebrate in that exact way.
But yes,
I don't like doing drugs. When people pull coke out in a room, I walk away.
Yeah, I know. And I'm always like, where are you going? We're in the middle of a conversation. No, I also know that like a lot of prides are like super clean now. Like before I screamed at LA Pride, like there was so many rules. You couldn't do anything in there. There
Girl,
was like
LA Pride was just a music concert.
Yeah, exactly. And it seems like that's what these people want. And if they do, there are those things for you. Don't go to a real pride then. Go to one of these music concerts with a rainbow on it. End of list.
Well, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Stay out of my pride, you bitches. Where's the coke?
All right, we are back.
We're back. Oh, that was good at the beginning, and then it got rough.
Have you watched any? I want to watch like a film that I'm very excited about, and I haven't encountered a film. Did you watch the Friends reunion?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't watched it yet, and what I did is I saw that it was happening, and then I saw Friends was on HBO Max, so I hit play on Friends, and I was like cleaning and doing whatever because I've seen all of it,
and now I'm just watching Friends,
rewatching Friends, and now I'm sort of like in it, and I'm like, should I just rewatch all of Friends and then watch the Friends?
It's just so white.
It's just so white and so long. It's like 10 seasons.
They were number one, baby. Now, I will say that
the first season is good.
It's very funny to see them interact now as adults. Well, they were adults back then. But as like older people who have probably not all been in the same room for a long time because all of their senses of humors
are totally different.
Are different. So like one person will say a joke and then they'll all just kind of be like, oh, yeah, and like it does not land. Also, James Corden is there and he's so sweaty. He's like trying so hard. It's like so annoying.
Oh no. Well, I'll be interested to see. I'd say
watch it just because it's like funny and there are some funny behind the scenes things that I never knew. Like Ross hated that monkey. He hated that monkey because they would feed the monkey treats or whatever, like, and the treats would be like mealworms or maggots, so it would like rip it open, but they would feed it on his shoulder, so he would just be getting like mealworm and shit on him, and he would eat it and then like touch his face and do all this stuff, and I don't know, it just seemed like a nightmare.
I always feel like so wild about their styling, because you know when Friends started, they were meant to be like 25 and 26 years old, mm-hmm. and they like had jobs, they were like suit jackets on a Saturday, and I also feel like styling, especially female styling at that time, like makeup, hair, and there was still the carryover, there was like the leftover from the 80s big shoulders, so sometimes like the high-waisted mom jeans and the sort of jackets with the huge shoulders, I'm like,
but it would be like everyone, an olive jacket, it would be right, like a very odd color,
everyone looks like they're fucking, I feel like they're styled like they're 40 or 45 and they're like, I'm 24. I'm dating a 19-year-old. Like, I was like, it is so interesting how that works like generationally. Also,
who do you think has the most money out of all of them now?
I don't know.
I think it's
do you know
Jennifer
answer?
Aniston. The answer that I heard was Jennifer Aniston.
I assume Jennifer Aniston because she became
Ross,
the biggest movie star.
Yeah, she did movies.
David Schwimmer produces a ton of stuff.
And
Lisa
then
Kudrow
I heard
has
it's Lisa
had
Kudrow is
super
third.
Successful other yeah. shows, like multiple other shows that have done really well. And then
Courtney Cox,
Joey LeBlanc.
He did.
His name is not Joey LeBlanc. His name is Matt LeBlanc.
Matt LeBlanc.
He's done episodes for like so many seasons.
And then
and Courtney Cox did Cougar Town and a couple other shows.
Cougar Town was so good when it was about her fucking young people. And then it got weird season three.
So three episodes?
No.
They made the switch pretty quickly.
Yeah, and they kept on trying to change the name of the show, and the network was like, that's not how TV works. I spoke to someone who had done her hair and makeup,
mm-hmm.
and he said that on the Thursday and Fridays that they would shoot, she would be drinking real wine on set.
On Cougar Town?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get they got into a rhythm, girl.
Because you only shoot for like 4 or 5 hours, so if she's just drinking for four or five hours.
No one like writes that aggressive wine drinking into a show randomly unless all the actors are like, yeah, we love drinking wine.
Yeah, give me the wine.
It's so much of it. Who was I talking to recently? Oh, my friend who acts on TV. I was saying something about a show they were on, and I was like, it's a lot of scenes of just sitting around. And she's like, yeah, all TV is right now because of COVID is like people seated at tables talking. Like that's all it is.
Oh,
unless you're like an action show.
Unless you're The Oval.
Oh my God.
We should watch that. We should do a
I saw those stories.
Sloppy washery.
That is so crazy.
All right, let's get to these voicemails. I sent you three.
I got two, and this one is called Salad Fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Hey Meatball, hey Big Dipper. So I guess I have a story. I used to be with this one guy, and he was one of those that could like one of those guys that could like come multiple times in a night or throughout the whole sex process thing, whatever we want to say. Anyway, after position after position, every but 5 or 6 loads later.
Wait.
After
okay, so he's saying 5 or 6 loads later.
Yeah, he must be drunk.
Jesus.
He comes and like shoves his fingers in me and like starts spreading the cum around inside and like feeling it and whatnot. And normally I would think it would be hot, but so he pulls his fingers out and shoves them in my mouth. And the next thing I know, I have a piece of salad on my tongue. And everything was clean. Thank God everything was clean. But yeah, just this clean piece of salad just sitting there on my tongue that he pulled out of my ass. And all cummy and soggy. It was extremely, like, you could see it on my face, but apparently, like, he didn't know it was happening. He didn't know that it happened. So yeah, that's why I don't have salad anymore. No, I'm kidding. That's why I just don't eat salad, like, when I know I'm going to be having sex. All right. Bye.
This spoke to me on a different level because guess what? We're about to talk about poop, everybody. When I eat like a big salad for dinner, mm-hmm. you know, the next day there's just salad, like undigested salad in my stool. Does that ever, I need to understand why that happens. And I feel bad that this man, it happened to them.
I feel like every person has experienced the like, oh, that food particle looks the way it did when it entered my body.
That's why I stopped eating corn.
Yeah, because you're like, well, what's the point? Like, yeah, my body isn't snatching anything from this.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, listen, I know we like to make a lot of medical claims on this show. I don't actually know the reason why some food gets digested and others don't.
We need to have that doctor on.
Yeah,
Dr.
this would
Marcus
be a good
Tellez.
Conversation. I guess I'm fascinated by the idea that this person stated the salad was clean.
How do you know? Well, I mean, if he like had douche it, it was just like sitting in there, stuck to the wall.
Stuck to the wall, and then you're like, I'm cleaned out, I'm cleaned out, I'm cleaned out, I'm cleaned out, I'm cleaned out. And then all the aggressive fucking dislodged it.
The 5 or 6 times.
And then it got lodged into with some cummies. And then maybe it was just so soaked in cum, you couldn't tell that it was also had like a thin coat of duty on it. This is wild. When I thought when this said salad fingers, I thought the person put like romaine stalks on their hands.
No, but remember when my old roommate Felony got E. coli from eating raw romaine without washing it? Next call.
Oh my god. E. coli. That is a crazy story. A piece of salad on your tongue? That came from your like butthole?
But it's also, I mean, it's also a little bit hot that he was just like jamming his fingers up in your hoo-ha and then was like, suck on it.
Yeah,
that's like when people are like, clean it off, honey. When they're talking clean about their dick. And you're like, ooh, okay. I mean, I don't want to, but all right.
Yeah. Ugh. All right.
Hey, Slops. So while I was living in New York City, I realized I had a rubber fetish. And I met a guy that had rubber gear on an app called Recon. And we planned to meet up. And so I'm sure y'all know, but getting into latex, you need to get completely lubed up. So he covered my entire body in lube. And he was so much smaller than me that when I tried to put his cat suit on, it wouldn't go past my ass. So I ended up just putting on like a hood and socks and gloves and whatever. We do what we do. And afterwards, I'm sitting there naked, covered in lube and sweat. And he decided it's the perfect time to play his like dark, creepy EDM music video for me. And it wasn't like a, I make music. Do you want to hear my music? It was just like, here's a music video I made. And then I met another guy on the same app, and he had also met up with that same guy, and he did the exact same thing to him. So, yeah, I just thought it was weird that he did it more than once. Goodbye!
Has that ever happened to you where you're like, where you hook up with someone and then you end up sort of like, talking about hookups and then it becomes clear that you've both hooked up with the same person in the past and yes, then you like
it joke happened to me about with my old roommate one time because this was in LA because there was this guy down the street who we both hooked up. He was so hot, but he like wanted to like when we went over there he would like make us sniff his shoe. No, he would sniff our shoes. And then he like remember that one time he like came in my shoe and I wasn't wearing socks, so I had to like walk home with a cummy shoe.
Oh,
and then my roommate was like, yeah, I hooked up. I told you that, right?
Ah! No and, socks! And then squish, anytime squish on your walk.
Anytime I wore those shoes, I was just like, there's just dried cum in these. And then my roommate, he was like, wait, was that guy's name whatever? Because he also owned like a hair salon or something and would like offer to cut both of our hair. But then one time I hooked up with this guy and he... And it was also in Burbank. And he afterwards was like, do you want to see what I do? And I was like, kind of just trying to get out of here. But yeah. And he's like, I'll show you on the way out. He like took me to his garage and showed me his like glass blowing kits and stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I was like, that's really cool. But like, I'm not trying to make friends.
Yeah. I feel like if you're using a sexual hookup to find a captive audience to watch your music video, you're sort of going you ever about done that it to the someone? Wrong way. No, I have been like duped into because like I was so enamored with the person or they were so fine. I have sort of been duped into like revealing more than I want to after just one hookup. You know, they
like
just
what?
You know, they're like, what do you do? I always give this answer. I always say I'm a freelance producer because I feel like it of encompasses cum. Every... Right, exactly. I'm a freelance producer of your orgasm happening while your dick is baby. In my mouth. Because it's true. Like, I produce podcasts, I produce music, I produce videos. Like, I'm like, you know, freelance creative producer is what I say. And in the past, people have been like, oh, do you do this? You do this? You do this? And I'm like... Yes, and then if I feel like maybe they might be a repeat or a friend, I'm not going to try to lie to them. But I have definitely, like, after fucking a guy laying in his bed in, like, the Hollywood Hills in some, like, beautiful house, he, like, pulled up my music videos on YouTube because I, like, gave him more information. And we sat there and he, like, watched a music video that I was embarrassed of.
Which one?
No, I'm not going to say.
A tick-tock, little April showers.
Like, literally 9 months after every video comes out, I'm like, I'm embarrassed of that video.
Same.
But we, like, sat there and I'm like,
oh, God.
I have your, like, your butt juice, all of your cunt juice still on my dick, and you're, like, watching me do something that I feel is so non-sexual right now. But are you into rubber?
No, I'm not. I've never tried, but I think it looks sexy, but I don't think I have the body type for it.
Yeah, I feel like anything that makes it, like, hotter, you know what I mean?
Not for me. Yeah.
Not for me, Dita.
And like we were talking about earlier, costuming, you were saying that you think about costuming a lot before you go out for things like Halloween and stuff. I feel like you're lucky because you don't have to wear, like, 6 inches of padding and have giant titties on your chest and, like, a corset that doesn't breathe. Like, you get the option to, like, have airy clothing, but I need to be, like, covered up by all that stuff and then another layer of usually a fabric. I try to use fabrics that breathe, but, like, non-stretch or stretch fabrics don't really breathe.
Right.
So, you like, know, a non-stretch, it's, like, harder to look good in because it's got to be fitted. Like, it's just, like, all this stuff. And it's just, like, if I put on a cat suit, it's over for me.
Does it feel like I'm cheating? Because every time I know I'm going to do a stage look, but then, like, maybe I'll go out, so maybe I want to turn a look or maybe I do whatever. But I always show up in street clothes and with my little bag with me, and then I change backstage. And I know, like, in New York, a lot of queens or performers leave the house in their look. To me, it's like a functionality thing. I know I'm going to be dripping in sweat after, so I need a change of clothes. And I also know, like, out in the world, I'm not trying to be like, look at my sparkly thonged ass. I just want to be a regular person when I'm not on stage.
Yes. And oftentimes when I get off stage, I immediately switch into, like, sweatpants and a t-shirt to walk around the bar.
Your body is a wonderland.
Wait, your body is a mess.
Your body is a wunderbar. Boom, boom. Okay. Well, listen, we made it to the end. Thanks for those great voicemails. Everyone's doing an amazing job at being more concise. So shout out to you and yours.
To you and yours, baby.
So listen.
And if you're the guy with the 512 number who calls 3 times a day, we love
you. What's he doing? Harassing?
No, he just leaves, like, he just, like, has a lot of stories that he needs to get out, and he, like, sends a bunch of them. But I don't
want to played one?
We've already played, like, I think 3 of them, so I want to, like, let other people
start a podcast. Be heard.
I didn't realize that it was him until
hey,
until I started
start
looking.
A podcast.
I think it's 512, but until I started looking at the, like, the you can numbers. Search by the number, and I was like, holy shit. So we gotta, he was the one who met the porn star in Palm Springs. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Sloppy Seconds. If you want, you can call in with your own fuck talk story to
213-536-9180.
Our email is sloppysecondspod@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at Big Dipper Jelly and Spicy as Meatball, or Fat Drag Meatball on Twitter. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode, which come out on Tuesdays and Fridays.
And Meatball,
or Mondays and Thursdays
be...
if you pay for Forever Dog
Forever
Plus.
Forever Dog Plus. And Meatball and I will be out every single night this week waiting in line in West Hollywood. So come say hi.
Absolutely,
give us a hug.
Not.
Spit in Meatball's mouth.
No. Meet me at Akbar. Bye. Doodle doo doo, forever dog. To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.